I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sometimes I think it's a sin when I feel like I'm winning, when I'm losing again.
Story, the inspired story of Roger Armstrong, a drug-addled techno producer who has dreamed of success his entire life and is always striving for the best with his music. No, we're not referring to Paul Mendel at all. Sorry, Paul. We are referring to the ace entry into Sci-Fi London's Film Festival 2017, of course, produced by the amazingly talented, awesome Roger Armstrong. How are you, Roger?
I'm very well, thank you.
Delighted to touch base with a good self. Now, we have three fine folk in the studio. That would be Natasha Armstrong.
Hello.
Ben Lewis.
How you doing?
Good evening.
And Shane McKenzie.
Hi.
None of whom actually joined their fellow Midway Drivettes in taking part in this year's 48-hour film challenge. But Natasha, you were quite impressed with the film, having seen it.
Yeah, I thought they did amazingly well, considering they were all in completely different ends of the country.
First ever entry, but back in the day, Roger Armstrong was also an entrant into the 48-hour film festival. In fact, Roger, unless our research has completely gone down the tubes, Sublimate was actually the next development from the entry into the 48-hour film festival.
Yes, it was. I've actually entered the competition with various different people on four separate occasions.
And does it get better each time?
It did with Sublimate. I mean, the film that we did, the letter Sublimate, was called The Naked Eye, and I think that was the best entry that I was involved with, and it was the same people that went on to make the actual feature film.
Now, I've had a look at Sublimate online, and clearly we can't. We'd have to use an awful lot of bleeping if we actually wish to actually sort of. We wouldn't be able, because there's a lot of effing and jeffing in. But then it's a tense situation. So, Roger, would you like to explain effectively how this is developing? I mean, we see this line, while being filmed for documentary, Roger, our alcoholic best mate, John, well, everybody has one, only kidding, develop a machine that removes human consciousness from the body. They go to daring and terrifying new heights as power gets the better of Roger in this darkly comic and insanely interesting film. What's it all about, Roger?
I guess it's about a number of different things. It works on a number of different levels, which I guess we didn't exactly expect it to. I mean, basically, we wanted to make like a low-budget, or zero-budget, science fiction-y horror film. We all hated found footage films, so for some reason we decided to do found footage style. But we never, during production, referred to it as found footage. But in order to answer your question, what's going on? It's basically about desperation and obsession. The main character played by myself, he's so obsessed with wanting to be someone that he goes to ridiculous and murderous lengths to achieve that.
Well, you see, speaking to students who are about to graduate, they can identify with that and in so many ways. We're actually having a look at the Sublimate webpage. Here was I thinking, is it something to do with sublimation, which, as any chemist undergraduate will be able to tell you, is what happens when something moves from gaseous to solid without a liquid phase?
Ooh.
Sublimation. But Roger, you've probably got his own saying nothing to do with sublimation whatsoever. It's just
it's
a whole...
Actually, it's a deliberate mistake. And basically, the idea comes from Ian M. Banks' signed culture novels. And there's a thing in that called Sublimen, where a whole culture basically goes to like the next level of evolution, which is where all that comes from in the film. And basically, the guy, my character, he's kind of so, not exactly stupid, but he's not interested enough to get the terminology right.
An original, bold and darkly comic UK-produced sci-fi feature film that blurs the lines between fantasy and reality. Much like Tessa Snart does every time she actually anchors Sound and Country Vision. It happens. Shaylee, any questions for Roger about Sublimate and more?
Yeah, I'm just really interested in how you got the idea for the film, because it sounds awesome.
Well, a part of it comes from the Ian Banks culture novels, and I guess I was wanting to do like a David Cronenberg style horror film, which kind of where sort of science goes wrong in a very unusual way. And a lot of what happens in the film is actually constrained by the lack of money. So we had basically like a room. We came up with the idea of doing it like in a really confined space, which is the booth in the film, which is basically just like a giant microwave oven that sort of melts and explodes people.
Taking it to a whole new level. Now, I detect, Roger, a slight northeastern accent. Could you be Tyneside-based, or are you going to turn around and say, no, I'm a Wearside lad? Or is it just County Durham?
No, it is North Shields, born and bred.
North Shields. Shields. Not to be confused with South Shields, of course.
No, definitely not. I'm from the right side of the river.
Exactly. You got your North Shields, your South Shields, you've even got your Gala Shields. But we best not talk about that. Different sort of experience. Well, good news, Roger, because we have been joined by somebody who did actually form part of the Midrick Drivet Sci-Fi London Film Challenge, despite the fact that she had difficulty uploading her material. Tessa, would you like to explain to Roger, who again is the Eminence Grise of Sci-Fi London Film Festival, four entries he's actually had into the film challenge and still goes strong. And this year, official selection of Sci-Fi London, Sublimate. Would you like to just explain to Roger what you were doing with the rest of the Midrick Drivets with Takedown?
Yes, well, we were actually in different places of the country when we were trying to put everything together. So I couldn't upload all my stuff to the Google Drive for some reason. I just couldn't view everything that was in there. But the other girls, they worked really hard to put the storyline together. And what they created was really, really good in the end.
You had people in Scotland, people in Glinton, just outside Peterborough, people in Lincoln actually coordinating that. Did you think that was, I mean, Roger, I know you wouldn't have been made aware of this whole side of things, but did you think that was quite an ambitious first attempt to go into the 48-hour film challenge?
Yeah, I'm intrigued as to how you actually orchestrated and managed and sort of, well, why you would do it like that. What kind of drove that?
Well, I think it was the Easter holidays by then, so we'd all left university. So we all communicated via Facebook message and Google Drive, and that's sort of how we uploaded the content and stayed in touch.
Was it shot on what was it shot on? Was it shot on phones or video cameras?
I think a lot of it was mobile phones that I'm aware of. I think Hannah may have had a camera, but I think a lot of it was shot on mobile.
That sounds really interesting. I'm kind of is it online? Can I watch that?
It is online. In fact, we have a couple of versions online. I'm sure Tessa can send all the details through, and then I'll email them up to you, and magic will ensue.
Yeah.
It's like, keep
it. I'd really like to see that. It does sound really, really interesting and very innovative. I mean, we actually used an iPhone for like quite pivotal scene in Sublimate as well, so I'm kind of interested. And I mean, it's very DIY and lo-fi, so that's why we sort of did it, and there's a lot of GoPro footage in it as well. So I'm kind of intrigued by anything else that uses sort of mobile phones and stuff as well.
Shaylee, thoughts from yourself? Any questions and so on as a self-styled science fiction aficionado?
I guess I'm just really intrigued to watch it. And also, I'm really, like, pleased with how enthusiastic you are about the little man. And Hannah is awesome in everything she does, so you'll really enjoy it.
Cool.
Remind the folk of the synopsis of Sublimate, of course. Roger, a drug-addled 90s techno producer, and his best friend, alcoholic wannabe rapper John, attempts to bring about humanity's next stage of evolution. Their insane plan is to build a machine that bombards people with sound waves, making the soul leave the human body and become pure consciousness. It's a tale of idiocy, delusion and obsession, with no real scientific basis for their machine and Roger's growing misanthropic messiah complex. I know many academic colleagues, but no, best not mention. Their one-way trip to a new age cosmological rave in the sky soon becomes a dark journey driven by desperation for success and recognition. Natasha.
Yeah, no, it sounds fabulous. Is this, do you think, your favourite one that you've made out your four, or...?
It's Sublimate's actually a feature version of The Naked Eye, which was the entry to the sci-fi competition, but I mean, The Naked Eye is the favourite, my favourite film that I entered into Sci-Fi London. Although Louis, who runs Sci-Fi London, isn't exactly complimentary about it, because we actually shot it on analog videotape, just to make it like really grungy and dirty.
Oh,
and it's
wow!
It's actually quite horrible to look at. And we did like proper sound recording, but like a lot of the sound, like the synths and stuff, that aspect of it sort of remains in Sublimate. But we did all that sort of like live in the room.
Well, you did mention his name, so...
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM. My name's Louis Savvy, director of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival.
He likes to have his cameo roles. You appreciate that. It's important. He gets those messages.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy, Louis. I mean, he's given us like a sort of massive boost, sort of selecting the film for the festival. And the festival, for anyone like thinking about it, is a really, really sort of good place to have your film shown. As long as it's sci-fi, obviously.
Ben, on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, of course, our sister show, you've worked through so many sessions with Louis when he's been saving people's lives, impaled themselves and so on.
Yes.
Got any thoughts or questions for Jay, for Roger?
Roger, and just based on all four films, what was your biggest challenge, and maybe overall or within doing all four films?
I think this is quite a technical one. I think the third film that I did, which is the first film that we, like the group that made Sublimate did, we had like a Blackmagic camera. I don't know if anyone's familiar with those. But they're basically like, it's a really cheap Australian camera that shoots at a very high quality, comparable with like the sort of Arri's that like James Bond and whatnot are shot on, but they cost about a tenth of the price. And we had one of those, and that was an absolute nightmare to use because there's a lot of things that you would expect to find on camera that aren't on it. It's basically like a giant mobile phone with a lens sticking out the front with a touchscreen, and it's really difficult to use. I mean, that was the biggest challenge that we faced, or that I faced in all four of the films that we've sort of shot.
I remember the first time I was talking with our BAFTA award-winning director, Graham Harper. We were talking about Blackmagic. We thought it was some kind of milk tray box system that they actually got onto a camera. So it's easy. At least it didn't melt. But still, you know, it's all part of technology, working through the process.
Yeah,
that's the important.
It's a good learning experience for us.
Exactly. So, Tessa, any other questions or queries you'd like to put to Roger Armstrong?
Have you got any upcoming ideas for any new...
Is but you can obviously
we're
share.
Because I came in late.
It's films. I mean, you know, in the case of Sublimate, according to the sublimatefilm.com website, it's so good. It's obviously been officially selected by Sci-Fi London. I've taken out the deleted word there for obvious reasons. It is radio. And other prestigious festivals are so desperate to screen it, they've offered drugs, sexual favours, and even mineral rights. Which is astounding.
Oh, wow.
don't know where we're going. Anyway. Carry on, Tessa.
No, I was going to say, have you got any more upcoming ideas? Will there be any more future films that you can tell us about?
Yes, touch wood, if I can get some money from somewhere, because we basically shot Sublimate and we paid for it out of our own pockets. So what I'd like to do next is actually get some money off someone to shoot another film, but I am working on a script which is, it's like a satire of the education system in this country.
Lord knows they need it.
Yeah,
is that higher education or undergraduate? I mean, are we talking about...
It'd be like a high school.
High school, so
it's basically exams and sort of sats and things, because my stepson's just done his sats, and I'm currently doing like a bit of work invigilating in a local school. I do a lot of film education as well, so I see a lot of different things, which I think, that'd be quite good in a film.
The tales you could share about invigilation, honestly.
Yeah.
You can't have
Sue Roy's on that.
Exactly. A whole new world. Roger, it's been splendid touching base with a good self. I feel as though you've connected in all manner of wonderful ways. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the production? Has it been okay?
Yeah, well, this is actually my complete radio debut, so yeah, I've had a fantastic time.
Round of applause, please, for Roger Armstrong, director and producer of Sublimate. Any reason for naming the lead character after yourself, or was that just a case of autobiographical issues there?
That's the way fantasy blends with reality element of it. Yeah, it was just easy to shoot because I don't get shot at my sort of parents' house and exactly. stuff like that. So.
See, as Hannah would say, that's why Harry Potter is a real person. So yeah. I take it, Roger, you'd be kind enough to return in the not just the future and keep us appraised of how in South Shields.
I mean, I can send you guys a link so you can see the screen of the film and maybe discuss it in more detail next time around.
I think we'll be motoring for that. You know, there we are. Fiona Moore has not let us down. A recommendation. Great stuff. Roger, take care now.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Outrageously wonderful, still has the hairs rising on the back of one's head even today, doesn't it, Ben?
Yes.
I think the excitement that you sort of was manifest in the studio when I realised our next guest was coming on board and that I revealed it to yourself, Ben. I mean, I think you were excited when you spoke to Shane Rimmer a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the second time, Shane Rimmer.
And then when I actually said it's the genuine real-life son of the creator himself, who's Jamie Anderson, welcome back to the Midweek Drive, sir.
Hello, Alex and co. How are you all doing?
Well, we've got Natasha Armstrong.
Hi there.
Hi, Natasha. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
We've got Ben Lewis.
Hello,
Ben.
Ben, of course,
starstruck
from Brighton and a public relations level 2 undergraduate. Shaylee McKenzie.
Hello.
Hi, Shaylee.
And Tessa Snott.
Hi.
There we are.
Hello,
success.
Tessa.
And Tessa was actually, I must admit, everything was going splendidly this year with Telefancy Society, except for the lacunae that was left by the Gulf. No Jamie Anderson. I still feel that I woke up at night thinking, you know what, how did we come with... But you were there for the start, Jamie. That's the important thing. For our first conference.
The inaugural one.
Exactly.
It was great fun.
Yes. 50 years of Thunderbirds and now 50 years of Captain Scarlet.
Yes, time marching on. You can't get away from those anniversaries creeping up, can you?
In terms of the whole... Because, I mean, the other thing is, since we last spoke, Jamie, you have gone multimedia in so many major ways. If we look at... Look, podcasting, Fab Live, Episode 1, Episode 2, Episode 3, Episode 4. He's a genuine VJ. I'm almost tempted to say, is it Jamie Anderson or is it Rick O'Shea? Ba-ding!
Oh, nice.
I knew you'd appreciate that. And indeed, you do the sort of wonderful thing with Richard James, of course, known for Space Precinct, Terra Hawks, etc. Plus, of course, your key director as well, and you're directing Doctor Who, and you've directed Terra Hawks. You just, I mean, how do you fit it all into the day, Jamie?
Coffee is the main secret, I think. But also, I'm just very lucky because I really enjoy it all, so that really helps, doesn't it? It's... I think it's what Dad kept saying to me when I was a kiddie, that if you're doing something you enjoy, then you don't work a day in your life. Obviously, recycled from lots of other people who said that, but it's certainly true for what I'm up to, which is good. I'm very lucky.
Ben.
Yes.
21, 22 years of age for yourself?
21. Sorry, I had to think about my age then. How bad is that? That's worrying, isn't it? That is worrying.
allowing for that, how did you... Because I know you've often said, I'm not really into science fiction, but when Gerry Anderson's products come up, suddenly there's a whole new Ben Lewis that we see.
I know. When I was there, it was a big influence on my childhood, certainly.
Explain further. Jamie's interested,
yeah,
I know.
Well, I was a huge Thunderbirds fan when I was younger. I mean, huge. And, you know, used to watch the old episodes on VHS.
Great.
And then had the little Tracy Island as well. Yeah, I know. I used to absolutely love it. And even Captain Scarlet too. It sort of ranked Thunderbirds at the top, and Captain Scarlet followed very closely behind. Even with a bit of Stingray in my life as well. So I was a huge fan of all the works of Gerry Anderson. If he was still alive now, I'd love to have met him.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Well, yeah. It's nice to know that there are people in their early 20s. Somewhere in their early 20s, who can't remember how old they are, who still like those shows. It's great.
Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze me, actually, how many people who weren't around for the original, even kind of missed out on the broadcast reruns, are still aware of it and still very fond of those shows.
Yeah. No, I do. I find it fascinating. And we were discussing this with Alex earlier, but the new reincarnation of both Captain Scarlet and Thunderbirds. Dare I ask your thoughts?
Yes, you should do this, Ben. Mm.
Well, as in the CG New Scarlet,
yes.
And ITV Thunderbirds. Well, I've stated my position repeatedly on New Thunderbirds, which is great that ITV see Thunderbirds as such a strong brand that it deserves a reinvention, and it keeps bringing new people back to all the worlds of Gerry Anderson from 60 years worth of productions, which is amazing. CGI Scarlet, I'm very fond of, and it was, you know, Dad's final project, really, that he was able to complete in his lifetime. He was tremendously proud of it. It didn't get a great... it wasn't well serviced by ITV in terms of broadcast back in its original run, but it is getting a Blu-ray release later this year, so it'll be available in HD for the first time. And even though it is now 12 years old... Most 12-year-old CG shows seem to age not very gracefully. This has aged very, very well indeed, because they were really pushing the boundaries of the technology at the time. So I'm very much looking forward to it getting another outing, which it thoroughly well deserves.
Definitely.
And the great news is you can actually watch it in its entirety, as opposed to actually having it broken up in 10-minute or 5-minute chunks, as ITV did when they sort of first scheduled it.
Exactly, in its entirety and in HD. Wow. So it's going to be great.
Natasha?
Yeah, I'm not really very familiar with Captain Scarlet. I did watch a bit of Thunderbirds
when I was
younger.
They smash him and they know he'll return.
Oh.
Captain Scarlet.
I've definitely got to look it up, though. Do you have a particular favourite episode out of all of those you recommend I should watch?
Ooh, gosh. Mm. Well, I think really to get the measure of Scarlet, you have to watch the opener, because that kind of sets the whole tone. And also you get to see the creepiest sculpted puppet face you'll ever see in your life when Captain Scarlet is shot towards the end of the episode. So, that's definitely a good place to start. I would probably go there. But it's, you know, it despite being a puppet show, it's not for a really young audience, so you won't feel like you're watching... something that's beneath you or something that's kiddie-like. I mean, you don't really get that with any of Dad's shows, but Scarlet in particular, it's much darker and more grown up. And it's not, there aren't many puppet shows where you get to see dead bodies.
Or indeed a suicide mama.
Yeah, well, I have to say, when I was younger, Scarlet was a lot more scarier, for me anyway.
Yeah.
But I still found it entertaining in terms of it was great value to watch almost. It was fantastic to watch.
It looks stunning. It's really beautiful looking, and the change from the caricatured puppets to the human proportion puppets seems to split people 50-50. But it's a masterpiece in terms of as artistry.
In terms of the opening credits, though, fascinating, because if you were used to the exciting credits that you got in Stingray, Thunderbirds, even, dare I say it, Joe 90, UFO, Space 1999, Terra Hawks, and so on, this is basically the camera goes down an alleyway. You have the
spooky
Ed Bishop narration. You have the shooting out, the whole thing. It's a dark... I mean, how many other children's TV series have a suicide bomber in their opening episode?
Very, very few, I think. I'm not sure anyone would get commissioned today if that was the pitch either. But there's something really nice about the way it starts. You know, that creep and then them making you jump as the camera spins round and you hear the bottle spin and the cat meowing. I'm not really selling it by saying this.
No,
it's great. And then the Mr. On Threat being delivered in the sort of second part of the opening title. It's really, really nice. It's very different, very of its time, but equally timeless. So give it a go.
Tessa, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, like Natasha, I'm not actually that familiar with Captain Scarlet, but again, I watched Thunderbirds when I was younger, and I loved Lady Penelope. But I do actually remember watching Thunderbirds Are Go, the film with Vanessa Ann Hutchins, the actress.
Oh,
I don't know whether you remember that.
Oh,
I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I wish you hadn't mentioned
that.
It's such a
pet peeve. Into murky waters,
Natasha. There's a difference between
sometimes
the
you get through.
The real
Lord. Actually, Jamie, would you be kind enough to share for Tessa and the benefit of the tale you shared with us a couple of years ago when we talked about your father, who was just so ignored and marginalised by this Jonathan Frakes debacle that he even had to watch the models passing through his office at Pinewood. Please, share with us.
Yeah, well, he knew it was happening. So Dad lost the control of the rights to Thunderbird a long time ago, unfortunately. So the movie happened without his consent, without any input from him whatsoever. And the first point he saw what was going on, he was having a meeting at Pinewood in his office about something else. And during the meeting, the ugly abomination that was the redesigned Thunderbird 4 was wheeled past to add insult to injury. So that was the first point he knew anything really about it. He wasn't fond of it. I won't quote exactly what he said about that.
Probably similar quotes to me.
He definitely wasn't keen. I will say the thing I don't mind about it so much as Sophia Miles and Ron Cook as Penelope and Parker. And I did actually see Ron when we were recording Captain Scarlet, funnily enough, and I went and said hello and I said, you know, this, for you and Sophia, there's no hard feelings about that film, but for every other element, I'm afraid, it's not something that we tend to talk about in the household.
Yeah. I look at that film differently.
It's taboo.
I didn't know all this, so
it's an eye-opener. I used to have so much respect for Jonathan Frakes, but then he did The Thunderbirds. I'm sorry, what were you thinking? It's Spy Kids.
It's very, very Americanized, it was, as well. The
Yeah, definitely.
The Thunderbirds, which isn't so keen on. But
I think the only thing we can actually do is take a moment to sort of calm to actually... please,
sorry.
I've
called this now.
We're currently looking at X20, or in the classic Anderson Tone, X20 doing his
nice work, Alex.
Think that, yeah.
You've got the job.
I'd work it in there. You know, as you know, Jamie, we academics have to catch the pennies where we can, really. So always
about
weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, etc. Let's go with the Stingray TV theme in its entirety.
Stand by for action. About to launch Stingray. Anything can happen in the next half hour.
The thing is, anything can happen in the next half hour, as we frequently said on that basis. When are we going? I mean, I know we've had, it's 53 years, I think, since Stingray actually made its debut. And you'd be pleased to know that, courtesy of the fabulous Jamie Anderson Fanderson scenario, I even purchased a Stingray T-shirt, which so it's important. I was so impressed, actually, Jamie, that, you know, I got a thank you note just from yourself, just for purchasing that. It's wonderful. I was moved beyond words.
Well, you know, all that stuff goes to sort of support what we we tried to do in maintaining and continuing Dad's legacy. So, you know, every little helps, to quote a well-known...
But when you when you next speak to that Nick Briggs character, you should say it's time we did Big Finish Stingray incarnations.
Well, give us some time to get Captain Skull out first, Alex, and then maybe we'll see how it goes. We've got those three 4-hour novel adaptations coming out later in the year, so sit tight.
And is that going to be new Captain Scarlet? Is it going to be repackaged Captain Scarlet? Are we going to look at the chimes of Big Ben? Will we
later this year?
Yeah.
No, the novel adaptations are adapted, enhanced audiobook versions of the three TV tie-in novels by John Faden from 1967. They've never been dramatised in this way before, and we've got Liz Morgan, who was one of the original Angels, playing all the female parts, and Wayne Forrester, who was in New Captain Scarlet as the title role, playing all the male parts, and he's done the most amazing job at turning his vocal cords to about 30 different roles across the books. And they're out in September. So they are, it's very exciting, and it expands the Captain Scarlet universe, even crossing over into Fireball XL5 at one point.
Oh, my word, the World Aquanaut, the World Space Patrol, and the Spectrum. Indeed. The expanded universe where we have to say, and I'm sorry, I appreciate your views, Natasha, but take that, Marvel Expanded Universe. You'll find that the World Space Patrol, the World Aquanaut Security Patrol, and indeed Thunderbirds and Spectrum were there beforehand.
Yes, absolutely. For the best shared universe.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm actually frozen in the studio, Jamie. You've been familiar with this, and it's, where was it, 2015? So, yes, 2 years since you were last in Lincoln, but I've frozen Marineville. And, Natasha, do you not think that the designer of the Minerva building has actually sort of based a lot of his work on Marineville? As we see there, the only difference between the Minerva building and Marineville is Marineville doesn't actually, or rather, Minerva doesn't actually sink under the water. You know, it doesn't actually go underground.
I was going to say, it's a spitting image. I mean, minus the giant mechanical fish.
Minus the giant mechanical fish.
Yeah.
You can't have everything, can you?
I mean, it'd make Lincoln campus far more interesting if we had the fish.
You know, if you had the student residences actually going underground like that and actually having that, I think, you know, the Vice-Chancellor needs to be aware.
We're missing a trick.
The Guardian today, we are number 11. In the Guardian, we're in the top 40 as far as university is concerned. Journalism and English and journalism, number 11 in terms of journalism and public relations as well. So, you know, so I think the next step to actually move into top 10 is clearly to actually have buildings sinking under the ground.
Yes.
And then we can have speakers and put the Stingray theme on in the back.
Exactly. what better way could you actually have to get to alert students to wake up, go to lectures, than to actually have the launch singles working through that? You can see, Jamie, I've thought this through, and obviously, you know, we're thinking about ways of commissioning this. We'll get you back to Lincoln to open that.
You need to start a petition, and obviously, Alex, you'll have to do the Commander Shaw voiceover.
Anything can happen in the next half hour. No.
There you go. Done. Got the job again.
That's right. Shaylee, thoughts from yourself?
I'm just really interested to actually be talking to the son of the creator of Thunderbirds. It's just like,
blown away.
Yeah. There are no words.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much. I'm honoured. You need to definitely find some more exciting things in your life, Shaylee.
On the flip side, it has to be said, one thing where I know Shaylee would have been most annoyed with your dad about is, of course, his usage of Marina. As he said, aquamarina, underwater bears, soil, etc., couldn't speak at all. So, as he said, a perfect woman. I know you would. As a
wouldn't get away with it now, Alex.
Not at all. The feminists would have a field day.
It would not be good in any way.
But on the flip side of that, Captain Scarlet, the very best pilots on the entire planet, five of them all women. So
exactly.
There we go. More than made up for it with that.
You got your Destiny Angel, Symphony Angel, Rhapsody Angel, Harmony Angel, and Melody Angel.
Nice.
And multinational as well. All set and ready to go.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add to Shaylee? Life, the universe, or words of the sea?
It was nice to share some radio time with you, Jamie.
Likewise.
I have a question.
Ben, go.
Jamie, what was it like growing up with your dad being obviously a huge part of everyone's childhood, no doubt at the time that you were growing up too?
Mm.
What was it like growing up with almost your dad being a sort of virtual celebrity in that respect.
A real celebrity, wasn't
well,
he?
Well, no, in terms of he wasn't on the screen, but people saw his name, they just didn't see him.
Yeah, he was recognised a surprising amount, actually. I mean, you know, I think everyone at some point in their life finds their parents to be mildly or seriously embarrassing. that's just a natural part of being a kid. It was strange trying to sort of add that together with this tremendous amount of recognition and, you know, not just my friends at school thinking it was really cool, but their parents thinking it was cool. That's a really weird phenomenon to have multiple generations thinking that your dad's cool, which I obviously massively disagreed with when I was a child. But now I've come to agree with them. But I was very lucky, spending a lot of time at Pinewood, models and puppets and stuff all over the house, and lots of great fun experiences that I was very, very lucky to have as a kid. But it's weird. It just becomes normal when you're a child, whatever you're exposed to. And it's only now really reflecting on it that I think how amazing it was.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And it just continues on. So a little smidgen of, I think, the voice of the Mysterons.
You started the shockwave with your unprovoked attack on our Martian complex. This act of aggression will be revenged. Our retaliation will be slow, but nonetheless effective. You will pay in full.
Captain Scarlet is indestructible. You are not. Remember this. Do not try to imitate him.
Do you know, those words have got me through my entire teaching career, Jamie.
What, the Mysteron threat or Colonel White?
No, you know, the little word at the end, you know, remember, Captain Scarlet is indestructible. You are not. Do not try to imitate him. It's very important. Words of advice that I think you should use when you go to graduation from that perspective. Very good.
Absolutely, yes.
Natasha, any sort of final closing thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, it's just obviously in terms of the puppets and how they work, that you don't see that as much on television anymore. Do you think there's a reason for that? Or do you think it's so iconic with Thunderbirds that people are scared to go into that? Or
yeah, I think the studio at the time and that team behind AP Films and Century 21 perfected the art so well that anyone who did try to mimic it just fell at the first hurdle, or if they managed to get anything together, it just didn't look anywhere near as good. And really, because they've stayed so timeless, nobody's tried to mimic it since. Obviously, it has been successfully replicated by the Thunderbirds 1965 crew, who put together three new episodes and filmed it in the same Super Mario.
And yet, tragically, they said never again, Stephen LaRiviere, when he said it was pointed out that there are other aspects available. We hooked up with him at the Starburst International Film Festival last year, and it was suggested maybe he could do the same for Stingray, maybe he could do the same for Captain Scarlet. No, he said, no.
Well, I can completely see the Super Mario Nation is very clunky as a filming technique for the people doing the work, because there's just so many things that can go wrong. But I still believe there is a huge amount of mileage of puppets, which is why we're working on our very own puppet series, which we're trying to pull the finance together for right now, with a slightly more advanced set of techniques using more animatronics and modern bits and pieces that we can do now in terms of post-production. So, yes, puppetry is an underused art, but it's been around for a long time, thousands of years, in fact, and will stay around. I just hope we can give it a little boost in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And just reminding people that in terms of gerryanderson.co.uk, I was very pleased to see that it was Fireball XL5 that actually won the favourite T-shirt design. Very tempted to go for the Protectors. But, you know, it's nice to see that fire. You see, these are kind of, from a fashion perspective, Tessa, you must be aware that, you know, if you want to go for real stylish scenarios, you've got stylized Tracy Island at sunset, the Protectors logo, Fireball XL5 World Space Patrol logo. These are the kind of things that can actually help in so many of wonderful things, impacts on that basis, including, of course, a whole heap of other goodies as well. How's Gemini Force One coming on, by the way?
All three books are out,
yep.
Available from all good bookstores. There aren't any more planned for now, but you never know in the future. Yeah, but they've done pretty well and been very well received, which I'm very pleased about. It's a nice start to the extension of the Gerry Anderson legacy.
Absolutely. And don't forget, of course, Fab Live, F-A-B Live. It's not an acronym. It's quite literally Fab Live, released on a monthly basis, Jamie.
Yeah, next one's 5th of June on the Gerry Anderson Facebook page with me and Richard, 7 p.m. So do come along and join us for news, fun and nonsense.
It's been genuinely awesome, as we knew it would be. Ben, has it lived up to your expectations?
It more than my expectations, Alex.
You see that?
Thanks for taking them low, Ben. Much appreciated.
It's all right. No worries.
So I take it, Jamie, you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us and return to the Midweek Drive.
It's been very jolly and it's flown by, so thank you for having me.
A round of applause for Jamie Anderson, please. And would you be kind enough to resume, let's say around about September time, when we're talking Captain Scarlet in full form? We haven't even talked about your Doctor Who productions and directions as well, of course.
Doctor Who is a sort of a distant second to Gerry Anderson productions, isn't it? So we can do that another time.
Totally agree.
I sensed that was going to come across, etc. Will you return?
Of course, I shall see you for the 50th in September.
Time for Joe. When you've welcomed back Jamie Anderson to the production, how can you actually have the cherry on top of that?
And now, star of stage and screen, a lover of mystery, and an international citizen of the world, this is Lily Holloman.
Sashaying across the room with her usual consummate style, wit, and joie de vivre. Bonjour, Lily.
Oh, bonjour, Alex. Comment ça va?
Oh, très bien, merci, très bien. It's all right, we haven't gone pre-Brexit. It's just a case of sort of saying greetings with our American ace contributor, producer, Los Angeles Breakfast Club chairperson, and general all-round wonderful actress, Lily Holloman, who's stepping in for the moment for Phil Leonis, who's just working at present on the weather forecast for Lincoln, which he'll be delivering midnight Los Angeles time, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. I know. It's scary.
Oh, I know. I was trying to encourage him to do it the way David Lynch used to do the weather. Did he tell you about that?
Do you know, he just kept that quite quiet, actually. It was Cher Fuller.
Well, now, David Lynch, there was an independent radio station when I first moved to L.A., and every morning David Lynch would call in from wherever he was to do the weather forecast, and he always did the weather wherever he was. Nice. So it had nothing to do with Los Angeles most of the time.
Yeah.
But it was very entertaining, and then he would say something very cryptic, like, there is electricity in the air.
Thunder.
I really miss it. It's one of the things that is sad that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, maybe between the co-creations that are Hollyman, Leonis, and Left Duke, we can actually resume that particular aspect with the Midweek Drive. And you know, let's face it, if you're heading off to Lincoln, New Mexico, see what we're doing there? Yeah.
Not Nebraska.
It's Lincoln, New Mexico, I believe. Is that not where the road trip, which is about to commence, is about to take you, Lily?
I believe so. Phil is to be a travel agent because he's been very thorough about this whole thing. You know, some people are a little ambivalent about road trips, but I realize it's because they don't have Phil planning all these amazing destinations for them. They're just sort of wandering willy-nilly.
Natasha, you may or may not be interested in the exciting news that we're currently working quite diligently to see if Phil Leonis will be able to not only, actually you might be excited by this as well, return to England
right.
with the Starburst Manchester International Film Festival, ooh. But maybe even come over to Lincoln as well.
Yes, please.
If we can find some place that can actually host the stand-up comedy routine of Dean Haglund. That's the challenge, Midweek Drivettes.
Engine shed.
The challenge has been put out there, and we're just going to have to sort of look and see if we can combine those kind of combination factors. So let's talk about
it. Yeah, do it.
Well, you know, we just uttered the words, and hopefully things will matter. This will be the August bank holiday, by the way, in case you're looking to book holidays for that. So I know there's some things called the Steampunk Festival happening, but that's all right. We'll sort out.
It's not essential. It happens every year.
Phil has actually been sort of commented on as being a sort of steampunk character in times past, and having with the bowler hat and all the sort of style, etc. That's Sam Stone and David J. Howe. I haven't quite seen it myself, but you know, I'll let them have their sort of words. The Lady Killer says,
you would look cool in steampunk, Alex. You should support that.
We've got to do it, haven't we? We've got to see it.
Now, when you say
get him a bowler or a top hat.
Okay, fine. Well, you know, we just have to wait
goggle.
And see. I can see that you're thinking about this, Lily, and are clearly putting some effort into that. What have you been doing this morning? What has the Los Angeles Breakfast Club been getting up to this morning with your good
self? Oh, my gosh. This was the biggest turnout we've had since I have discovered the Breakfast Club in 2013. We had 51 people, which is a huge increase. We usually average about 30. Which was already an increase, but yeah, 51 people. We didn't even have enough. We had to bring extra tables in, and it was a very popular speaker. Her name is Brenda Levin, and she has single-handedly restored all of the major architectural pillars of Los Angeles. The Bradbury Building, which you know from, can you say, could you know?
We've spoken about that.
Blade Runner, that's the name,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's
Blade Runner?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. Is that the name of the movie?
Blade Runner is indeed the name of the movie.
Okay.
It's actually the pedigree name
of
my dog.
The Bradbury Building.
Nice.
the Grand Central Market, which is downtown, very popular. The Griffith Observatory, restored, which was a miraculous restoration.
With the aid of Leonard Nimoy as well on that particular basis. Interestingly enough, the Griffith Observatory also makes an appearance in an episode of Mission Impossible, which was being screened on the True Entertainment Channel last night. I tell a lie, it was actually on CBS Action. We had Jim Phelps who actually got his instructions.
Rebel Without a Cause had a big scene up there.
Exactly, but not quite as exciting. It's all very well James Dean being there, Lily, but this was Peter Graves as Jim Phelps in Mission Impossible getting his instructions from the Griffith Observatory. That's a lot more exciting than Rebel Without a Cause. I just put that out there.
Well, you're right. I'm sorry.
it's a way forward. Tessa, questions from yourself.
Well, we should probably do a weather check. It seems as though we've had rain constantly all day today.
It's been 12 hours of rain.
12 hours of rain. Oh. What is it like over there where you are?
Well, we have a lovely marine layer, as they say, across the sky. All clouds, a nice diffused light in the air. Great for photography. It's what they used to call June gloom, but they've ramped it up to May. But it's not as good because it doesn't rhyme. May gloom. Or maybe May Gray, that's what it is.
May Gray, a wonderful Belgian detective who Arthur Weingarten has actually produced a series about. So it's great, you know, May Gray, and also current Prime Minister of England. Another way forward. I know we don't talk politics, but sometimes the names are actually sort of just rolled out there. Natasha, any sort of lines you'd like to take Lily on, including, as I say, possibly, just, I mean, we've had the world premiere, you might get one or two suggestions there from the Lady Killers as we continue to promote this awesome production, produced and starring Lily Holliman, amongst others.
Yes, well, first of all, I hope there's enough food to feed everyone today, because it sounds like it was a proper military operation getting everyone fed.
Oh, I know. The caterers really ramped up their game. They were running around, and then the waitress was a sub, so she didn't know what was going on. She put one coffee per table, and Phil was not amused. Phil and his coffee, he's very serious.
Oh.
So we ran out of coffee at one point, which is not good for the L.A. Breakfast Club. But, you know, like any showbiz emergency, it was solved. So it ended in a happy story.
That's brilliant. And am I right in believing you're having an official world premiere in North Hollywood for your Lady Killers?
They've had one.
Oh, you've had one?
Exactly, but it went
very
well.
Yes, we had the official world premiere. It went great. We had a line down the block waiting to get into the theater. I mean, you don't see that too often anymore, and that was very exciting to see. With a movie you produced.
Technically, Lily, of course, that means it is a blockbuster.
Yes.
Ooh, is that what that means?
Yeah, because there's queues around the block.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the whole essence. So, you know, the blockbuster movie.
A blockbuster.
Exactly. Yay!
Love it.
You'll be saying you're a tentpole before too long, and it'll be a summer scenario, and suddenly Phil will like sold out, the whole system will be marvellous, and then it'll be remade by Jonathan Frakes, and nobody will understand what Lady Killer was about in the first place. But Shaylee.
Isn't it just a great feeling when all the hard work pays off and you get such a great reaction from the audience, Lily?
It's such a relief because there's such controversial content in the film. And, you know, we put it in there to shine a light on it and to bring conversation to the topics with that intention, but not everybody sometimes takes it that way. So when people really understand it and take it the way we meant for it to be, that's a huge relief. Yes, the fact that everybody is still talking to me is also a bonus.
It's always part
of
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The critical response that you get there, which is great stuff. Ben, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, Lily. So for this film, The Lady Killers, is there any way anyone from the UK in particular can watch the film? Is there any sort of online service or something we could, or any DVD purchasing?
Get yourself over to the Starburst International Film Festival, Ben, and it'll be all revealed there.
Well, for others who can't make it to that, are there any other methods to view the film?
We will. We are. We're currently touring the world, doing individual screenings, and then eventually, that will lead to DVD online. Hopefully, wider theater distribution first, and then. So, in time, yes. Absolutely.
Patience, Ben. Patience. That's what you must have. I mean, I know it's exciting.
Follow us. Yeah. You can follow us in the meantime on Instagram. At The Lady Killers Film, I believe.
Yeah, I would.
Something like that. And Twitter, we're on there. And, Facebook.
You were saying, Tessa, have you started following them?
Yeah, no, I follow on Instagram. I often enjoy seeing your pictures, so that's definitely one to follow to keep up with The Lady Killers.
And, and Tessa knows what it's like when it comes to images and pictures. The image is all. Hopefully, Lily, one of these days you'll actually reciprocate and listen to Sound and Country Vision, a monthly show Tessa co-hosts with Camera from Nashville. Well worth accessing. All the photos are online, including great colour shots of Tessa in action. In fact, sometimes, Tessa, you even actually go monochrome. You actually create your own monochrome image. Tuck it away.
That's fantastic. What Instagram's
going. Oh, that's on Instagram too?
Yeah, that's at Sound... No, actually, that's on my Tessa Liam Snart page, so my journalism page. But it's on Twitter as well, at Sound of Country Vision. So I post everything on there to do with that.
And when you return, Lily, we'll clearly be asking you for a full critique on that. It's unusual. Having just done a piece with Jamie Anderson, who said he couldn't really do Skype because he's in a part of the country that doesn't have any kind of technological thing, we go to Los Angeles and Lily's almost as though she's becoming an automaton as we speak. It's very curious. You know, she's walking around. It's like, but hopefully consciousness is still there. Just got a few moments to actually go. Incidentally, Tessa, Nick... Devastated you weren't on the show yesterday for Sound and Next Vision. Ben, of course, on the other hand, would have said it could have actually impinged deeply on your psychology. So, you know, he's still...
It was very interesting. It was very, very interesting.
I was keeping up with all your pictures on Instagram again. I saw them all. Yeah. It looked fun.
They read your messages as well.
Lily, you just have to access this from another whole line entirely. Shaylee, any final thoughts from yourself? Closing sort of aspects.
Nothing that I can think of, sorry.
Not even asking Lily what number between 2 and 26 she should actually go for. You know, Lily, would you like to give us that number between 2 and 26, please?
22.
22, zwei und zwanzig, as our German colleagues might possibly say.
Do you know that once every blue moon, secretly happy kind of feeling, that beaming, floating, purring kind of feeling, that oh-so-rare, please-don't-let-me-be-dreaming kind of feeling, you can feel it right now. Purring the universe.
Could almost have been one for Fuzz Aldrin, of course. And as we found out from Phil last week, the only reason Fuzz was actually scratching Phil Leonis and trying to, wasn't to drag him away from the actual connection we were having on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. It was because Fuzz was missing his mistress.
Oh, Fuzz.
What a way to actually go. What does the rest of the day have in store for your good self, Lily Honeyman?
Well, I'm just going to wait with bated breath while hopefully Tessa posts something new on Instagram, because I did realize I do follow you here. Tessa Leanne 21.
That's the one. I've got two.
Yeah, that's it.
I have so many.
So what's the next... The next post, I don't know.
I think I posted once a day, but the one where all the journalism stuff goes and the Sound and Country Vision, that's Tessa Leanne Snart. I try and keep that one more professional.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me, Lily, that we haven't actually taken the group photograph on the show either today. So, you know, that's clearly another reason why we're going to just have to pack up and go home.
I'll post that on there.
Yeah, exactly.
And we get a
sort of full foursome, a fantastic foursome, and better than the movie, who have actually taken us through a variety of productions on the feast today. If I just mention just some of them, Camo from Nashville, Paul Memmel, ace musician, Gemma, actually, it wasn't Gemma Malley, it was Heidi that we actually featured talking about the way you're actually coping with stress and various other elements. Roger Armstrong, Jamie Anderson, and wrapping up with Lily Holliman in the studio, Tessa Snart, Natasha Armstrong, Shaylee McKenzie, and Ben Lewis. Have you enjoyed the production, Natasha?
It's been very enjoyable, yes, as always.
See, outside we have the Stone people, the Stone Tapes there. They're embracing, they're having wonderful hugs and such, like, sort of building up for their sort of, a lot of Americans that they've brought over, but they're hiding in a pub somewhere. Oh. So we won't say anything else. But
Sam's hair's looking fabulous, as always.
Well, she's not listening. Bless her. Exactly. So, David, not so much. But then again, I'm not going to comment when it comes to her. And why would I? So, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Lily Holliman?
Yes, I just realised I forgot to tell you a development. Do I have a minute to tell you?
Yes, you do have a minute to share with us the development.
So, we're doing this road trip. We're going all the way to Washington, D.C., and then I'm actually going to be flying back in the middle of the road trip because I've been cast in a feature film.
Ooh. Well done. Congratulations.
Can you say anything
else?
Or is it just a case of...
Yes. Yeah, it's called an indie called Funny Story, and I'm playing kind of an Earth girl named Moonshadow. And it's the director and producer who's done. I've been in three other projects, a big breakout project that I did called At Your Friends. They produced when they
it's
were
just
right, better right out of college.
So you see, don't worry, Natasha, the fact that you weren't able to attend the screening of Contact because you were held up by a grocery delivery that never actually arrived. Outrageous. If I said it was Walmart, you appreciate the company that I'm connected with, basically. It's the British version. It's not good. But, you know,
I really, never got my blueberries, Alex.
You missed seeing the cinematic debut of Lily Holliman. I finally saw where you were in the movie Contact, Lily, and it was worth it. Exactly. I nailed it there. Twice. Twice. Exactly. Yes. It's wonderful.
Yes.
It's been.
So then I'm flying back to LA for a week to do that, and then flying back east to join Phil to make the trip back in car. So
now
that's not die hard. I don't know what it is.
It's a die hard. Let's add my little bit to the carbon footprint of the world. That's what I say. It's wonderful, you know. You go with that. You know, it's what America, the spirit of America, is built on. You know, Donald will be proud. It's great stuff. So I take it then, Lily, you'll be back with us again next week. Or indeed, sometime in the future. We don't know.
I
don't know. No, will you? Ben, ask the question.
On the road.
Yeah, one will be driving and one will be safely in communication with us on the road with Lily and Phil. You're going there. There are some radio stations that try to push the boundaries. We don't try. We like to succeed. That's it. We're out of here. It's Lucia with Eclectic Pulse coming up after the news at 7 o'clock. And then, as we heard earlier, all sorts of wonderful poetry, great stuff. Thanks to Tessa Snart, Natasha Armstrong, Shaley McKenzie and Ben Lewis. That's a wrap from us and the aforementioned folk. What should we end with? Should we say be seeing you? Lily, how's your awareness of The Prisoner going on? Have you managed to go through any episodes? Have you gone through the whole 17 episodes in the series?
I've seen some a long time ago, but we're going to reboot that after the road trip.
Well, in which case, we'll go out with be seeing you. A one, a two, a three.
Be seeing you.
See you.